Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is Evan. Interrupting Evan, as he is.
I tried to be quiet and
subtle. You were anything but subtle.
I tried.
You were as subtle as the atomic bomb.
Hey.
Just sneaks into the... Sneaks into the harbor and drops. That's what you are.
I feel like I may have offended...
You might have. You might have.
Yeah, we got some original. I just needed to double check what was in the drink. Our waiter was very good.
All right. We are at Eli's Food and Cocktails, Eli's East in Northeast Minneapolis. Not to be confused with Eli's Downtown of the same family, the same restaurant group.
Which is south of us.
Which is south of us. And that one's still on Hennepin, but it's just downtown.
Yeah.
This is actually still considered Hennepin Avenue somehow. But to me,
Hennepin is it's like the varicose vein of
really
Minneapolis.
Is.
It just kind of winds around.
And somehow it ends up all the way down into Edina. Where does it stop? It stops at 62, but it's...
Who knows?
I don't know. It's like the Mississippi. Nobody really knows where it stops and ends.
No, people do know where it stops, where the Mississippi River stops and ends.
That's right, they do.
There's kind of a big deal about, especially where it starts.
Yeah.
They put a national park there.
I'm tired. Leave me alone. This is not a geography show. This is a food show.
Thank God. Thank God it's not a geography show.
We are already off.
Yeah, we are.
We're at Eli's Food and Cocktails. I said when we walked in and sat down, it's just kind of got this weird supper club-y vibe to it. And very, high-backed booths with a nice Corinthian leather.
That's right.
Dark, rich
Corinthian leather.
Yes.
Fun fact, there is no such thing as Corinthian leather.
I know. But
he made it up.
Exactly. And that's okay.
Old Khan. Khan himself.
I feel like you need to scream that one.
No.
Really?
I'm in public.
Not even like an under your breath con.
No, because then it ruins the effect.
What was the name of his character from Fantasy Island?
I have no idea.
Really?
I could look that up.
I figured that'd be one thing.
I don't think
like,
I've ever.
Know right
I think that
of.
Is, you know, those
what
shows.
What was the name of his counterpart?
Well, that was Tattoo, but that's just because midgets stick in your memory.
Let's see who's on this week's episode. We got Jonathan Winters.
And, he was on every episode.
Shirley MacLaine is doing a guest spot, and the gorilla from Take This Job and Show It is going to be on this week's episode of Fantasy Island. I was trying to go with the most obscure combination of people from the 1970s, early 80s. I think I did a good job there.
We're very happy for you.
Any update on
Mr. Rourke?
There you go. Somewhere there's somebody screaming into their iPhone or whatever device you listen to. Listen to this podcast and is screaming, "Get on with the show! My God, get on with the show!"
If they're not used to it at this point,
they stopped listening a while ago.
Yes. Although we might have a bunch of new listeners from this past weekend's Uptown Art Fair.
That's right.
So if you are a new listener, this is not how we typically start. We're typically much more energetic and funny.
Fluid.
Just,
well,
yeah, much
fluid.
More professional.
We're here. dear Lord.
I'm drinking. You are not.
Yes.
So I am drinking, it's Eli's Food and Cocktails. So I figured one of us should have one of their cocktails.
Right.
And it is kind of going with that old school supper clubby vibe. It's not a huge cocktail list, especially in the time that we're in now, where craft cocktails are the big hot thing. It's a fairly small list. It's about 6 different cocktails. We've also got about 4 or 5 martinis as well. I went with the Hennepin Squared, which is Stoli Citrus Vodka, mm-hmm. Gran Centenario Plata Tequila, and Blueberry Lemon Syrup.
How is it?
It's kind of a slightly darker margarita, I would
say.
Can I
have a sip?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what I was
supposed to say. Yeah. It's like 6 points a sip, though.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
You know, and it's funny because I actually made a raspberry blueberry soda this weekend.
I would be in trouble with it because that would just
really
just down the hatch. Down
it is
hatch.
Good. I mean, I will definitely give them that.
It reminds me of the prickly pear margarita at Bar Abilene, which to me like that's my.
And they've got something that's similar
when that
here.
When I have that, pants come off for some reason.
They've got something similar. They have something called the prickly seal, which is pineapple brown sugar syrup, which you couldn't have.
That's right.
Black seal rum and something called the Fernet Branca. I have no idea what that is. I think she was on Fantasy Island
that's
as well.
True. Actually,
and she's just floating in
I
her cocktail.
I had to Google Fernet Branca. It's a liqueur.
Oh, okay.
I had to Google Fernet Branca because it was mentioned in the last Batman movie that Michael Caine was sitting at the bar having a little little splash of Fernet Branca.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is Fernet Branca? But it seems like something that Michael Caine would drink.
Yes. That's the thing with that scene.
Because
he didn't know he was being recorded.
Right.
That was just Michael Caine on the Riviera.
Yeah.
Riviera?
Good lord.
Wow.
That's a strong drink.
It's not that strong. I'm just stupid.
But I love the way that he said Fernet Branca. Because he had that kind of elegant Cockney accent that he has.
It's rare that you see elegant and
know,
Cockney
but
in the same
works.
Sentence.
But when you think elegant Cockney, don't you think Michael Caine?
Yeah, I guess.
I never really thought about it. Blame It on Rio, and I think elegant Cockney, Michael Caine personified.
Michael Caine.
You went with three different actors there. My God, you're so drunk.
Here's the thing.
Lock it up.
You got me thinking about Batman. So I was thinking Michael Keaton because I was actually talking with a coworker of mine who's friends with Michael Keaton's electrician. So we were doing stories today at work.
That's the worst segue ever.
But it's in my mind.
I have a coworker who's friends with Michael Keaton's electrician.
But I'm just explaining to you why my mind is the way it is. It attaches to strange ideas.
That's the worst 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon ever, right there.
Michael Keaton sounds like a cool guy. I'd rather be connected to him than Kevin Bacon.
You sure about that?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not so sure. I think Keaton
wins points over Kevin Bacon because Michael Keaton didn't marry a Skeksis. So there's that.
But
she creeps me out, is what I'm saying. Can't watch the closer. Every time I tune into the closer, I think it's an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, she does look a little bit like a Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, it's...
Seems to me like he settled a bit. Like he could have done better.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he could have done better. But
should have stuck with that girl from Flashdance. Or not Flashdance, Footloose.
Footloose, yeah. Or Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue. No, by then he was pretty much spent.
Really?
He needed to grab someone in the Footloose era.
Yeah, but he was
I'd even
low.
I'd even said
he
I know
hanging fruit.
I know. Could have gotten the cute girl from Tremors. She never did anything ever again, so I wouldn't expect anyone to know their name.
Could have gotten any of the girls from Animal House who's in that.
Yeah.
Why can't I not think of another Kevin Bacon movie?
Oh, there's plenty.
So many.
Oh, of course. Well, if we're thinking of the intersection of Kevin Bacon and attractive women,
yeah,
we're forgetting one of the big ones.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Which is
he was in X-Men First Class.
There's that, but I was thinking more Wild Things.
Oh, the Neve Campbell.
Neve Campbell and Denise Richards before she went crazy.
I'm looking Nick. I don't know if you've seen that.
She does. Yeah.
Looks like another part of the female
this
anatomy.
Is supposedly, this is supposedly a food show.
I know.
Well, what
Bacon,
happened to us?
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, really? That's what you're going to go with?
You segued Michael
Keaton's
electrician.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
You segued Michael Keaton's electrician.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So if I can go with a celebrity name that has bacon in it, I'm much farther ahead than you are.
I suppose.
But I can't think of another Kevin Bacon movie to save my life. Tremors. Hollow Man. X-Men First Class.
Wild Things. Was he in Flatliners? He was part of that crew, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was. He was in Few Good Men?
Yes.
Two Good Men?
Yeah, he was in that, yeah.
Oh.
That was a good movie. One of the few times I've enjoyed a Tom Cruise movie.
About the only time I've enjoyed a Tom Cruise movie.
See, I figured you'd be all about Top Gun.
A little overrated in my book.
The only reason I enjoy Top Gun is Val Kilmer. Just because I enjoy everything that man's in.
How could you?
Because everything he's in is either really good or so bad.
Really bad.
Like, I love the Fat Kilmer era that we're in right now. Because it's so
Fat Kilmer era.
That was the line we came up with at the video store. Because he had like a month where there was a different Fat Kilmer movie coming out every week. And it was all straight to DVD, like thrillers, like really crappy thrillers. And wow,
but someone needed
the
sexy.
Man did the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah,
man was Man Mardigan. He should be doing better than that.
Willow, not good.
Oh, bite your tongue.
No,
sir.
It goes the way that
I will. I'm gonna one up you.
Right.
I'm gonna not only explain how you're wrong, right, but I'm going to insult your childhood at the same time. Willow is the best thing that ever attached to George Lucas.
Oh, that was a low mark.
Yeah.
That was a low mark for pretty much everyone involved in that film. Warwick Davis never was the same.
Who? Warwick Davis?
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that pretty much made his career.
No.
The only reason why anyone knows what he looks like nowadays, other than Leprechaun.
Return of the Jedi made his
No
career.
One knew. Okay.
He's not exactly doing appearances for Willow.
If Warwick Davis died the day after
Warwick Davis. I was in Willow. It says Warwick Davis, star of Return of the Jedi.
No, it's if Warwick Davis is getting credit for anything other than his extremely funny HBO show, whose name escapes me right now. It's like Little Things or something like that.
I've seen it, along those lines.
If he's getting credit for anything, it's for his starring role in the series of Leprechaun movies.
Okay,
he's going to get Leprechaun before he gets Return of the Jedi, because he wasn't on camera in...
I disagree. I completely disagree.
Oh, he'll get credit as Star Wars. Here's the thing. He will get credit for Star Wars because people that enjoy Star Wars are so empty inside, they need to find connections.
There it is. All right, Warwick Davis.
We're a very bitter show today.
There we are. Son of a bitch.
Is it Leprechaun?
You know what's listed first?
What?
Warwick Ashley Davis.
He's English, so it's okay.
That's okay. He played the title characters in Willow and the Leprechaun series films.
I am the greatest.
And the Ewok Wicket in Star Wars Return of the Jedi. And Professor Phyllis Fitwick in the...
That's right, he was in the Harry Potter movies.
He's had a good run.
He's had an extremely good run.
Yeah, Life's Too Short is the name.
Life's Too Short.
If you haven't checked that out, it's very
cool. It's extremely fun.
Yeah.
And his bit in... was he on Extras too? I think he was.
I'm looking at it right now. This makes for good radio.
It makes for excellent
Chronicles
radio.
Chronicles of Narnia, you use him too?
Yeah. Well, no, here's the deal.
God, he's had a good run.
There's like six midget actors. So if you need one,
he's at the top of the list.
Yeah, you pretty much got to go with him.
He's on Extras.
He's Buddy Buddy.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yep, he was Marvin.
Who's in Ray? Bunch of different. He's been on all the Leprechauns.
Well, yeah, he's.
What else we got?
I gotta imagine.
Doctor Who? He's done everything. He also did Top Gear.
Oh, he's British.
I know.
So, I mean.
But I remember.
If you're British with even a little bit of fame, you've been on Top Gear at some point.
I was on Top Gear a couple weeks ago, and I saw it because they had to outfit a car for him.
Oh, yeah.
But they jerry-rigged the car with, like, phone books and whatnot. It was pretty funny. But he went along with the joke like he does.
Oh, you
got to
imagine he's used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
It's
not like you can just avoid it.
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, and he's a twin, if memory serves.
Yeah.
He's a twin, and his brother is like giganto.
Yeah.
He's like 6'8".
Yeah.
So I'm just saying there might not have been as much sharing in the womb as.
This is amazing. We went from the Uptown Art Fair to Michael Keaton's electrician to Kevin Bacon. To Warwick Davis.
And we've gone 14 minutes into the show without barely talking about food.
Amazing. But you had a big day. You had a big weekend. You had a much bigger weekend than I did.
Well, yes. My weekend was sort of so-so.
Mm-hmm.
But I concentrated all my entertainment on for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I mentioned last week on the show and several times on the Twitter, I was asked to be a judge on the Uptown Art Fair's Culinary Arts Competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it worked was very interesting. Because...
Well, they asked you to take your pants off. first.
They did.
Which was awkward.
They did. But, you know, it's uptown, so... You know,
go with the flow.
Go with it, man. But yeah, so the way that the contest actually worked is it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday and Saturday, they did three rounds.
Right.
And then they took the top two scorers from each day, and then they paired them off in the... on Sunday, and then the winner, and so that was the semifinals, and then the winner of those two rounds did the finals.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it worked out, the way that the contest works is they are given the contestants, it's a chef and an artist pairing.
Okay.
And the chefs are, the teams are given, where did my phone end up? There it is. I have the my notes on my phone. That's what I was looking at. So the way that the pairings match up is they're given a couple known ingredients.
Okay.
They are given Peace Coffee.
Okay.
They're given spice mixes from Minnesota Spice.
Okay.
And they are given a third thing whose name escapes me right now. Oh, Edible Flowers from Kowalski's. Kowalski's is one of the sponsors.
Gotcha.
As was Peace Coffee and Minnesota Spice. Now... and then right before each round, they were given a secret ingredient.
Okay.
And now each of these ingredients have to be used by both the chef and the artist. So, and that's where it got interesting, because you had, I mean, the general ingredients, the one that everyone knew about, those are fairly easy to work into a lot of art.
Okay.
Spices, ground coffee, you can work that into the paint if you're
sure.
a painter.
Textures.
Most of the people that I was there for were painters or illustrators. So okay. They worked it in that way. Or they'll glue stuff on, like one of the artists who was, I'm trying to get her name here real quick. Emily Drager. No, I'm sorry. Jessica Barnd. She it was more of like a, she was painting, but she was also doing, she would like glue coffee beans on, and it was kind of an abstracty thing. And then each round they got a secret ingredient, which they also had to do. So the first round was peaches.
Okay.
They had to use all four, but they could use anything else they wanted.
Okay.
They could request, you know, they had a full pantry they could use. They could request any sort of protein they wanted, things like that. So the first round was peaches, second round was corn.
Okay.
And the third round was grapes. So nothing super crazy.
No meat.
No meat. There was no meat.
I would have liked to have seen like a steak mixed in there.
Everyone ended up doing, I mean, everyone had their protein that they had.
Okay.
But it was, in fact, there was only two out of the six meals that had no meat whatsoever.
Okay.
And then they're basically just given a half hour, and you got a half hour, and so the first pairing, it was actually a lot of cool people. I kind of wished I would have been there on Saturday.
Okay.
Not because they were any, you know, that group was better. It was just more places that I've been to or heard of. So Friday was the Grey House, which just opened up in Uptown.
Okay.
Versus Three Sons Signature Cuisine, which is a catering company.
Okay.
Yeah, there's several catering companies or food consultants.
Interesting.
that were competitors. In fact, a food consultant actually won the whole damn thing.
Food consultant seems a little douchey when it comes to, like, that should not be on your business card.
I mean, it's more than catering.
Saying,
but okay, how is it any different than our good friend Alvy, who has beer consultant on his card?
Yeah, but he. Okay.
I get what you're saying.
I'm not gonna research. It's just, I'm a food consultant. It just sounds a little swishy.
Well, if your food consultancy is named Maison Place, I think Swooshy has passed out the door at that point.
Really? That's the name of it?
Yeah.
Wow. Alrighty.
So, hey, that's the guy that ended up winning the whole damn thing. So,
right.
Can't really argue the results. You can't knock him down because he's Swooshy.
That's swishy, like...
Whichever.
All right.
So we had the Grey House, we had Three Sons, and then Three Sons ended up winning that one, but the Grey House did a vegan kind of pasta dish, I guess would be one way to put it.
How'd you take that?
I liked it. I mean, everything I had was really good.
Okay.
The second round was Women's Club of Minnesota, or Minneapolis. which I'd never been to, obviously.
Women's club? Or,
yeah.
Sounds like a BFW.
I think it might be similar, but like, yeah. He was talking about he had to, the guy had to leave because he had to go finish up the food for a wedding that was going on that night. Okay. So it sounds like it's kind of a BFW meeting space kind of place like that, versus the Lindale Tap House.
Okay.
That one was the hardest round for me because the guy from the women's club ended up winning.
Okay.
That was the hardest round because I think the food was equal, but unfortunately, the guy from Lindale Tap House, his artist, was, I think part of it was just she was still in school, so she was probably the youngest of all the artists and the least experienced, and I think, like, she's a watercolorist, and that's hard to do watercolor in a half hour.
Yeah.
I think it was just so handicapped by that,
yeah,
that, you know, he lost a lot of, at least for me, lost a lot of points in the art part of it.
So take us through what, give us an example of what these people are making. I mean, how does this work? How is this working? Are they making something that's both edible, so you're judging a dish, or you're judging something that goes along with the dish?
You're
or?
Doing both. You're judging the dish itself, you're judging the artwork. You're judging how each side used all the secret ingredients.
Okay.
You judged how well the team worked together, how well they collaborated.
Thank you.
Anything else at the moment, gentlemen?
No.
I think we're good. Thank you.
You judge how well they collaborated, and just the overall presentation.
Okay.
So, a perfect example. Like, a lot of times it was just kind of food and an accompaniment of art of some kind. The guy who was from the Gray House, his artist was a wire sculpturist. He was the only non-painter or illustrator that day.
Okay.
And he built this kind of house. And he used the food as kind of the base of the house. Like he had, theirs were peaches, and he had dried peaches. So he would use the dried peaches as like window panes in this house that he built.
Okay.
I think you would have a serious problem with a lot of the art.
Oh, yeah.
Because you hate art.
Well, yeah, I do.
And, no, you hate art. It's fine, I guess.
I don't hate art. I hate art that I have to think too hard about. Like, I like photography.
Mm-hmm.
I like sculptures. If it's a painting that just doesn't make any sense, and people are trying to draw meaning out of it,
mm-hmm.
That's where I kind of draw that line.
Yeah, I think you would have had a problem, yeah. At least with some of the artists. Mm-hmm. The only thing that, if I had any complaints, first off, it was run like a clock.
Top
like,
off your water for you.
It was, you know, everything was professionally run. The guys from Kitchen Window who kind of run the contest, they ran everything just flawlessly as far as I was concerned. Everything went, and everything was smooth and all that. If I have two complaints.
Okay.
One, they had a playlist that would play during the actual round and the beginning part of the round.
Yeah.
And it was the same playlist for each round. And it was like Call Me Maybes and California Girls and things like that. And it was just like, after like the seventh time you've heard it, it's like, I really... Just find something, put it on shuffle. Like, there's no need for the same mix of songs. It's one of those things that no one's going to notice other than the people involved in the contest, but it bugged me. The other problem I had, and I would love to sit in on one of these competition shows, like on Food Network, like Chopped or anything like that, to see how they do this. We only got 10 minutes to judge.
Before they moved on to the next course, or
no, before they were just done with that round.
Okay.
We only got 10 minutes to eat, have two dishes and look at two art, plus fill out two ballots. We were running late every time. And it was like, and what killed me was that there was an hour in between rounds. So it's like, there's no reason why we only need 10 minutes.
Right.
It was 20 minutes. Let us sit there and eat the damn thing.
Because
it was all amazing food.
Right.
You know, everyone did super well. And the other thing that would frustrate me if I was a competitor, I mean, granted, they tell you this going into it. If the top two scorers of
of the day go on to the finals.
Okay.
Regardless of your positioning in the round you're in.
All right.
So the way it worked out, at least on Friday, is that both teams in the last round were the highest scorers.
Okay.
So even though the first two rounds had winners, neither of those guys went to the finals, even though they won their round.
Okay.
So it's one of those things, like, I could see why that would be frustrating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you know that going into it, there's nothing, you know, I mean, it's hard to complain too much. But other than that, I mean, it was very cool. The other judges, they were a mix of food bloggers, food consultants.
Okay.
One was a personal chef who also did time as an artist. So she had kind of a hit from both sides.
That had to help a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of really cool people involved with it, and it was a blast. I mean, I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was a lot of fun to see the crowd kind of get into it. It was a little hard to see for them because, you know, it's on a raised stage, so they can only see like what's going on, mm-hmm. sort of. So that would have been interesting for them for that. But no, it was a good time. The Uptown Art Fair is the 50th year this year. It was all up and down.
It had to have been pretty batshit crazy there.
It wasn't crazy.
Yeah. The weather being nice, though?
Well, I was only there on Friday, so okay. You know, maybe on Saturday it was a little crazier.
Because I've been there on the weekends. It's just, I like going to the local art fairs. The Powder Run Art Fair, the Dyna Art Fair. But that one, the Uptown Art Fair, is just so batshit crazy that it's, mm-hmm. it's tough for me to want to really go down there and look around. So, good to hear that turnout was good.
Turnout was good. Our good friend Keen was there for on Sunday to help judge the finals. Mm-hmm. And Emily Anderson, who did one of our food truck shows, she was there on Saturday. So a very strong, well-fed presence. And I enjoyed it because I was basically in Uptown for like 6 hours. And right around Calhoun Square.
Or the food mall.
So I could bum around. I immediately lost any foodie cred that I might have had because the first thing I ate there was cheese curds.
You did lose your foodie cred.
I don't care. They were delicious. But no, it was fun to be in that area again. I haven't been there in a long time. Had to make a trip to Penzi's since I was there. Stock up on various spices.
Because you never know when you're going to run out of smoked paprika.
Hey, I had a coupon for a free thing, a barbecue 3001. So I had to pick that up.
Nice.
But I got to check out the Gorn Brothers store, which just opened a few months ago. It's a hat store right next to the Uptown Theater. It was awesome. I bought a hat.
Of course you did.
I did.
You want a walking stick too?
Nope. I got a picture of my hat on the phone.
I bet you do. That works really, really well on the radio.
I was going to show it to you, you jerk. But I forgot, you don't care about me.
I don't.
You?
Why did I pick you up today? You said I don't care about you.
That's different. You interrupted my game.
Anywho, food's arrived.
Food's arrived.
I went with the main entrees that are going to have tuna. It's going to have fish, chicken, steaks, there's some vegetarian options as well. They've got some pastas on the menu, burgers, chicken sandwiches. They have a good sandwich menu as well. And I went with
what's the food?
Very good.
Great.
I went with the smoked salmon sandwich.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it is. It's a house smoked salmon, which was very good. Very, very good. Goat cheese, cucumber, red onion, capers with mixed greens on a toasted light rye bread. It's very good. I think it would almost even be even better if the rye bread wasn't toasted, which is a little bit of blasphemy.
It is a little bit.
But it's because it's stacked so tall and the density of the ingredients. Having extra substance there, the toasty substance there, makes it a little bit difficult to handle and chew. Makes for a very hearty bite, but almost overwhelming. It's served with some jicama slaw, which I haven't tried yet, which I'm about to have a bite of.
I've become a fan of jicama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the first time I had it, but it's just it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, I could be down for this. It's mm-hmm. it's got an interesting texture.
You'll like this.
Really?
You could try a little bit. Carrots, a little bit of cilantro, but it's a vinegar-based slaw. Nice and light, refreshing. It definitely pairs really, really well with the sandwich I'm having.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because the sandwich, while it's a salmon, it's still a pretty heavy fish. And with the capers and the goat cheese, very, very frontal flavor.
Oh, that is a very... That's
but
great.
But the slaw just kind of mellows it all out, and it's a very cleansing of the palate. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
What did you get?
I went with their tater tot hot dish. Because I was feeling tater tot hot dish today. I don't know why.
Well, it's hot dish weather.
I was feeling tot deprived. I've been without tots for far too long. And if you're familiar with a tater tot hot dish, I mean, it's a pretty standard one. Ground beef, tater tots, carrots, peas, celery, and a mushroom sauce. If I have any complaints about this, it's a little mushroom heavy for my taste.
Okay.
To me, this is almost probably a third mushrooms.
Okay.
And like I love creamy mushroom soup in hot dishes and things like that. So I mean I'm certainly not averse to having mushrooms in my hot dish, but it seems like a little much.
See, to me that would be just icing on the cake.
I mean they're good. I mean I'm not complaining about that. Yeah. I think and it works well. I'm not a big fan of a lot of mushrooms in my tater tot hot dish.
I've gotten to the point now where I would take things like tater tot hot dish or more pedestrian hot dishes and jazz them up that way. So like get like a really good like cremini mushroom, shiitake mushroom. I mean I do.
I'll admit this, mushroom is a mushroom is a mushroom to me.
Okay.
So you can take the scrapings off of a Pizza Hut pizza and throw it in there, and I probably wouldn't know the difference.
Wow, that's drastic.
But I mean, other than that, it's pretty good. It's a little dry, but you know.
It does look like it needs a little bit of. It does need the soupiness.
Needs a little soupier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, other than that, it's good. I mean, I'm not gonna
screw up.
It's hard to screw up on a tater tot hot
dish. Although I did have a tater tot hot dish once that had homemade tater tots on it.
Okay.
Except with homemade tater tots. When I want tater tots, I want Orida tater tots. I want pure, simple, golden, extra crispy Orida tater tots.
No. If you went to a place like Bulldog.
Damn it.
They're not using Orida as like Bulldog.
You boxed me.
But they just had a bad one. You're prejudiced. You let one bad example taint your perception of an entire species of food. You're a bigot.
That's right, I'm a tater.
You're a tot bigot.
Not tot boss, tot bigot.
Mm-hmm.
Tot bigotry is the name of the species. It's a dark time we live in.
It is. Politically charged.
Jeez. You destroyed that.
I was hungry. I don't know why.
I didn't even get half my sandwich out.
My food schedule has been so weird the last few days.
It was almost as if you sped up after you had a bite of the slaw.
Maybe that's what it was.
Cleanse the palate just enough to get you going.
Get me going. Well, I've re-hit my cocktail, so that might also have
to go
with it too. I must say, not enough hot. Here's my brilliant idea of the week. And I think we need to work together with the Bulldog. And we could probably just stick to the Bulldog, but you know, that's the best place I'm meeting. But any sort of the craft cocktail places, I want hot dish cocktail pairings.
It seems like that should have already been a thing.
It should have, but it wasn't. Otherwise, I would have heard about it.
Like tuna noodle paired with a something.
I really think that this could be a good way to highlight Minnesota cuisine. Because
yes.
We are the...
This is the best idea you've
ever
had.
We are the kings of hot dishes.
This is the new best idea you've ever had.
You know, this is... You know, we will take...
ground beef.
We'll take ground beef and cream mushroom soup and put anything on it.
Yeah.
But what I was going to go with is we will take... That is our true melting pot cuisine in this area. Because we will take from the south, we will take from the southwest, we'll take northern flavors, we'll do everything, we'll throw in a big freaking pot with 17 cans of cream of mushroom soup. And it'll be amazing.
You can also do variations on the hot dish. So you could have like a Mexi tater tot hot.
Oh, absolutely.
Or
that's the thing. Do we keep it to tater tot hot dish?
Or tater tot hot dish Italiano.
Because that makes it fancy.
Mm-hmm. Every time I see Hamburger Helper in the store and I see the Zesty Italiano Hamburger Helper, it makes me giggle just a little bit. What does it mean?
It means it's shaved Italians. No, actually, no, that could be awesome. I think we need to do a tater tot hot dish contest.
A brilliant idea, yeah.
I think that, there we go, there's our pairing. We do pairings similar to the Uptown Art Fair thing, but we set up teams of restaurants and bars.
It's gotta be moms and bars.
But it's gotta be from a variety of ethnicities.
Absolutely,
though.
You gotta have like a Polish mom.
We need a Somali mom. I would love a Somali hot dish.
Can they drink alcohol though?
Yeah. Think of Blue Nile.
The Muslim?
Oh, is that Ethiopian?
That's Ethiopian.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's some. I almost called them straight. I'm sure there are some secular Somalis out there.
Maybe.
And I've known a few Muslims, but they can drink just fine.
Vietnamese?
Oh, Vietnamese tater tots?
Something
that could be ridiculous.
We could do like a tater tot stuffed Vietnamese egg roll.
Here's what we need to do.
That's like an Inception article right there.
It's like a turducken of something.
Right. They do it, by the way, they do a turducken Eggs Benedict here.
Really?
For brunch. Yeah.
For brunch. Yeah, that is one thing we should say about Eli's, that they're known for their brunches.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys do any to-go orders?
Yeah, of course.
Could I get a small taco salad to go?
Sure.
Cool.
Over.
Thanks.
Would you like another cocktail?
No, I'm good, thanks. Excuse me. Here's a moment for our listeners out there. I know there are listeners out there that are good at setting these things up.
Yeah.
We have organizers. We have people like this. Cody could
we have moms.
Could lead star with this. We got moms, too.
We got people who like to drink.
I'm just saying, we're not going to be able to do this.
No.
We're the idea men.
Yeah.
We're not here for execution.
We're the think tank, damn it.
We're the think tank. We're the brain trust. But we need people to do this thing, do these things
ever.
For us. So if you want to become part of, if we're the think tank.
Tetrazzini and a martini.
Is tetrazzini a hot dish? Would you qualify that as a hot dish?
Oh, yeah. No question.
I don't know.
I have about 50 members of my family that would back me up on this, and then some, and then all the neighborhood kids that you were fed along with you.
Yes.
That would back you up on me up on this.
I guess maybe I'm thinking tetrazzini is something it's not, because I think of that as a pasta dish, not
it
a hot
is
dish.
Pasta dish, but it's baked in a casserole.
I think, you know, granted, this is one of the great philosophical questions of this area.
Mm-hmm.
What constitutes a hot dish?
Anything.
You know, I was going to say it can't be a noodle base, but that's stupid.
No, because
you got tuna noodle casseroles.
Exactly. Yeah.
But okay, but and this is where we get true Minnesota specific.
It has to have a meat and a starch. And then
that's fine.
A cream of something. Yeah, a cream of something.
Yeah. But no, and here's where we get truly regional specific.
it, can something be a hot dish but not a casserole, or vice versa? Can something be a casserole but not a hot dish?
They're one and the other.
I don't know if I agree with that.
To me, they're of the same ilk.
I would go so far as to say, in order for it to be a hot dish, I think the starch needs to be fried.
Disagree. Disagree completely. I could not disagree with you more.
Or baked or something
casserole
like that.
Casserole and hot dish are cut from the same cloth. They are under the same umbrella.
Oh, I think they're under the same umbrella, but I'm counting hot dish as a subset of casserole.
You're getting too off base. We gotta stick with this line of thinking here.
No, but my line of thinking means that if we do this goofy contest, we'll get Vietnamese tater tots.
What do you mean?
If a hot dish has to have,
it doesn't have to. It can be whatever. You could have egg rolls like lining the. Lining the top.
You're talking like a log dish. Cabin kind of approach.
No, just like what you just had,
the tater tots on top. As the top layer. It could be a top layer of Vietnamese egg rolls on the top of a hot dish.
Could work.
Oh, that could that plays. That completely plays.
That could work.
Yep.
I don't know. I think maybe this is a question for our listeners. Mm. Am I right in that a hot dish is a subset of casserole and that there are casseroles that do not qualify as hot dishes? Mm-hmm. Or are you like the more loosey-goosey, hippy-dippy Dave over there?
Not,
who just thinks everything is...
No,
everything
I'm a purist. I'm a purist and I'm open to other cultures.
You can't be a purist and open. Those are mutually exclusive things. I know, that's why I brought up this very salient point.
Thanks a lot, jerk.
Because even if you could talk, which you can't, and even if you couldn't debate me anyway.
Right. Thank you.
Did you want fancy plastic silverware or napkins or anything like that?
Nope. No. Thank you.
She wants to eat with forks, she can get it herself.
I'm going to make her use her hands to sit on the floor.
Yes. Naked.
That works too.
With a fire, like a campfire, like right there. Caveman style.
We might have gone too far.
Get a big old, like, thigh bone in her hair or something.
Brontosaurus
bone. I'm watching a lot of Flintstones lately.
Apparently,
but,
yeah.
That was a dumbass show. This is not exactly a new revelation in the world of pop culture criticism, but Flintstones was a dumbass show.
Flintstones or Jetsons?
I was always a Jetsons man.
Of course you are.
I'm a future. I am forward looking.
You are nothing but
here's the proof. There's proof of two things. One, proof that this is barely a food show anymore.
No, we banned for a good 20 minutes on
that
hot dish idea.
But the second proof is that...
It was Kevin Bacon, so we're good. It's both food.
The proof that Jetsons is the superior show. Flintstones, toward the end of its run, added an alien from the future. Jetsons did not add a caveman. Doesn't matter. Did not add a caveman because they knew Jetsons was perfect. Mm-hmm. But Flintstones was flawed, so they Jetsons it up with adding an alien.
I don't remember the name of the alien.
Great Gazoo.
Thank you.
Plus, he was one of the first characters that openly insulted another character on TV.
Really?
He called Fred Dum Dum all the time. It was a cartoon character. Very bad example for young children of the 60s.
Exactly. It was all downhill.
It was all downhill.
Great Gazoo.
It was Great Gazoo right to South Park. It's a straight line.
Exactly. In the Bible, that is cartoons.
That's right.
The Great Gazoo begot. Begat? Spagat? Begot?
Yeah. Begat, I think, is...
Eric Hart.
Yeah.
It's direct lineage.
Going back to your comment about it being hot dish weather.
Yeah.
I had a very... yesterday, it was Sunday, and I had a very similarly incongruent seasonally dinner.
Okay.
I made meatloaf.
You lucky bastard.
Technically, I made mini meatloaves, which are even better because you make them, they're about the size of like a wallet. And then what you do is you mix them up, because with these are, it was ground turkey and parsley and Parmesan cheese and a little bit of salt and eggs. And you mix that up and form it into these wallet-sized packets.
You're missing a binder there.
Eggs.
Big eggs.
Eggs, yeah.
Sorry, I apologize.
It's all right. And there's breadcrumbs.
No ketchup? No mustard?
Here's the thing.
All right, I'm listening.
You form them in the little wallet size piles of joy, and then you envelop them in spaghetti sauce, and you cook them right there, so it forms this like spaghetti sauce crust on the top. Oh my god, it's amazing! And then I sautéed up a little garlicky zucchini and some penne. Oh my god, it was amazing.
I'm surprised you're still sitting here.
It was amazing. I had two.
Of course you did.
I had two of them. And I've got another one waiting for me tomorrow. No, it'd have to be Wednesday because I'm doing another food truck show on Tuesday.
Is there anything better than leftover meatloaf?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Leftover meatloaf might be better than rest of
dessert.
I think we're good.
Thank you.
Not unless it's meatloaf.
Yeah. Do they have meatloaf on the menu?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I feel like we missed out. Neither one of us ate it.
You know, it's the very rare place that can do a tater tot hot dish and list it right next to the coq au vin.
I know. that's
a nice nice disparity. No meatloaf is what I'm seeing.
Wow. Bummer.
It's all right.
Thank you.
That
sounds amazing, though.
Thank you.
I have had a hankering for my favorite meatloaf in the world. Go figure. I shouldn't say it's my favorite meatloaf in the world because that's my mom's. But my second favorite meatloaf in the world is a Tyler Florence recipe.
That's because he's your favorite man in the world.
That's true. I would leave my girlfriend for him. I'm ashamed to say it.
You wouldn't so much leave your girlfriend. You would push your girlfriend out of the moving car.
I cannot confirm or deny this.
That's what I thought.
That being said, he's got the best meatloaf recipe. The problem is it's about 100 ingredients. It is an all-day process if there ever was one. And it's not that difficult to make. It's just that there's a million things in it. And not only that, it requires resting afterwards, much like a lasagna.
Oh, no, you rest the meatloaf.
I know, but it smells so good. And it gives you enough time to make the relish that goes on. Son of a bitch.
What's in the relish?
Oh, it's like roasted red peppers and green pepper and San Marzano tomatoes. And I'm salivating a little bit right now.
Okay, we're going to have a little mini contest right now.
Onions, garlic.
You are going to send me this recipe before tomorrow at noon.
Okay.
So that we can post it for our listeners in the show notes for this episode. If you, as the listener, do not see a recipe for the Tyler Florence meatloaf in the show notes, I will, instead of the link to that recipe, I will publish Dave's phone number in the show notes.
Wow.
So you can call him and tell him what a horrible co-host he is.
Wow. Them's the threat.
So those are the terms, sir.
Okay.
So you have until noon tomorrow to email me the recipe. I recommend you do it right when you get home.
Might be doing it right now while you're finishing up the show.
Yeah. So if you see a random phone number in the list, they're in the show notes, you'll know that Dave is a failure. And please call him.
I'm Googling it right now. Because I know you'll do it.
Damn right I will. So, thoughts. Thoughts about Eli's.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would eat my way around the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was very good. I was looking for something a little bit light. So, of course...
you'd expect that with a smoked salmon sandwich.
Yeah.
Which is, really hard to say.
Right. It really is. And it was. I liked the leafy greens on there. The cucumber was a nice addition in there that kind of cut the heaviness of the smoked salmon. The goat cheese was a herbed goat cheese, so it was nice. Well paired with the smoked salmon. Reminded me a lot of a lox bagel. So that was good. The jicama slaw was freaking awesome.
It was.
I would have just a side of that.
I could have used a little more juice with it, at least in my bite.
You know what? There wasn't any juice in the bottom of it.
Really? Okay.
So.
Could use just a little more dressing, but I would not have a problem having that again.
Exactly.
Like, it was good. It was very good.
That, they have a pulled pork sandwich on the menu.
I saw that.
Game on with that slaw. Just game
Oh,
on.
Yeah.
Just a heavy.
And they've got it's a red wine barbecue sauce on there. So you almost get with that jicama, you'd almost get like a little bit of a Carolina kind of vibe.
They do a regular slaw too, but I would want to have the jicama slaw.
Yeah.
I was very happy with my meal. I will definitely be back, if nothing else, for the turducken hash. which is I don't even know.
I didn't realize this place was so close.
Yeah, it's right.
The problem is, it is tucked away.
But it wasn't that hard to get to.
It wasn't hard to get to, but you had to, know it was here.
Right.
Like, you're not driving.
But now that you know that.
Now that I know it's here, now that I know that you turn at Lush, I'll know how to get there.
Yeah, take a left at the gay bar.
Take a left, or depending if you're coming from the other direction.
Right, or take a right at the gay bar, which different.
I think it's a lesbian bar.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. That might be a distinction without a difference, but.
Exactly.
But that is one of the worst possible locations for any sort of establishment. Nice. It's Lush, but oh well.
I am off the hook, sir.
I still might put your phone number on there just to spite you.
Yeah, 1 hour 50 minutes of cooking. It's at least that.
2 hours?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's huge. It's huge. A pound and a half of ground beef and a pound of ground pork.
That's impressive.
Yes, it is. It is fantastic.
All right, well, I am confirming receipt of the recipe, so...
Yes. It is excellent. I mean, look at that. Come on, now.
It's not a good picture.
I know, it's not a good picture, but... 5 stars on foodnetwork.com, 615 reviews.
I've seen what they review.
That's true. Thank you, Jada De Laurentiis.
Hey.
Not even trying.
Hey, she can actually... No, her stuff is actually good.
Okay,
Sandra D is...
Sandra Lee. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Sandra D is the one from the 50s.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yes, I will definitely be back here. I agree with you. It's in an odd location.
It is.
But especially... you know, if I want to meet my girlfriend who works downtown in a place that's kind of between the two of us.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea.
Works really, really well. I might meet a friend of the show, Alvy, for lunch every once in a while. This is a good option for that.
You never invite me, you jerk.
Well, you don't have a car because you're poor and you're
not poor.
You're a city dweller. You feel the need that you only need one car. And I'm not
typically don't.
And I'm not coming downtown to pick you up, to drive you up here, to take you back to work during my lunch break. It's not happening.
That's fine. I can still call you a jerk for not inviting
me. I don't care.
We both know that neither of us care about the feelings of the other.
This is correct. It is painfully evident.
It's really becoming Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf on this show.
True.
You don't even know what that means.
Not a clue.
That's what
not
I thought.
A clue. But they do have a rotating chalkboard specials.
They do. Even though they printed it on paper.
Yeah, but they do have a chalkboard up front.
That's a bit of a misnomer.
Yeah, they do have a chalkboard up front.
Doesn't matter.
I give them points for trying. But a big menu, but not overly ambitious. No. And they do the small things well. So.
Yeah, I've been to Eli's, the downtown one, before. It took me a while to remember it.
Yep.
Because my problem is that you got Eli's food and cocktails, and then you got Ike's food and cocktails.
Yeah.
And I love Ike's, and it occupies such a large part of my brain.
The fact that there's an Ike's out by my place.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I still have to go to the one in the airport.
Yeah.
See, I always go to the poor people terminal, so I don't get any of the cool...
See, it was a bit of a kerfuffle last time we flew to Mexico because I wanted to go to Ike's. She wanted to go to French Meadow. And they're right next to each other, so I could see the weekend of Bloody Mary cascading out of the hurricane glasses that they come in. And I'm thinking, that is going to put me out for the entire trip.
Because you're a fearful child.
I am.
On planes.
I am.
You're like a fearful drunk child.
Bloody Mary and Dramamine. That's how I get on planes.
So I think Eli's come pretty recommended from both of us here.
And Ike's for that matter.
And Ike's as well.
And Kevin Bacon.
Now, again.
Michael Keaton's electrician?
Sure. I've never met him. He sounds like a nice guy.
He does.
But anyway. As always, we want to thank... Actually, before we get to all that, I do want to thank Keen Omdahl from City Pages, as well as a new gig working for the zoo, I guess. He's working... I should look it up.
Is he making menus for the animals?
No, that'd be awesome, though. No, he's part of the fish
exhibit. He does three. He's taking over for Sparky. He'll do three shows a day.
Has he gotten that backflip down yet?
No, no. Never, but you've seen the man. He doesn't look like the kind that would turn quickly underwater. No,
nimble is not the nimble, word they use to describe him.
No. Here we go. He's working for their Fish Smart program. So what it is, it's not working with the animals so much as working with local restaurants about using sustainable fish and things like that. But he just announced that today, so congratulations to him. I'll just read his post. He says, accepted a brand new position at the Minnesota Zoo running their Fish Smart program. This is a tremendous opportunity for me for really try and make a difference in terms of the way our food system works, and it will allow me to continue working with local chefs in order to make those changes. So, super cool job for him. It's a great opportunity. And he was very nice enough to extend the invitation for me to be a judge at the Uptown Art Fair thing. So, he's my favorite person right now. So
keep hooking this up.
Yeah.
With a little bit more notice. And
well, I made it a point of schmoozing the volunteer coordinator for the Uptown Art Fair so that we don't have to go through Keen next time. Hopefully she'll invite us directly.
Nice.
So hopefully next year.
All right.
So, but
never hurts.
Never hurts. So again, huge thanks to everyone at the Uptown Art Fair. It was a great time doing that one day that I did have. So.
Right on.
As far as we're concerned, our show, you can follow us on the Facebook.com/WellFedGuideToLife, Foursquare.com/WellFedGuideToLife, or Twitter.com/WellFedGuideFPG. Haven't set up the Instagram yet. We'll get that for next week, I promise. Maybe we'll start using it. Thanks again for following us. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes. And thank you. I mentioned this enough. Thank you for being patient with our website redesign. We're now on our third web designer, as we've been trying. Apparently, my ideas just drive them insane.
Apparently.
So they just run screaming naked. They run screaming naked into the hills, and it's become a problem.
Went to an odd place.
Yeah. So if you are a web designer and you're looking for a somewhat apparently insane job, please contact me. We pay.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week.